Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts, to Playing Through Golf Podcast. My name is William Starcevich, and I'm joined today by...
Travis White.
Chris Lopez.
Right on, right on. Hey, so I kind of want to kick today's episode off with a little bit of talk about a local golf course that was near and dear to my heart, because it's the course I grew up playing.
Wait, let me get the tissues out.
Yeah, no, I've already got...
We got some tissues.
I've got my...
He cried the whole way over.
I did. I was choked up. And I'm referring, of course, to Hawthorne Ridge Golf Course. It was in Aledo, Illinois. I know that you guys have both played the course, but probably not in its heyday.
No.
The one time I played, when we coached golf, we were over there, and it was, the bunkers were in rough shape, but I mean.
But the bones of the course were still there.
Yeah, it was still there.
Yeah,
when I first moved here, I played here, and it was in phenomenal shape.
Really?
Yeah.
So. It really depended on the time of the year. And I can remember three owners there my entire life. It used to be a joint course with Golfmore and Hawthorne, were owned by the same guy. And if you bought an annual pass for one, you got it for both.
Well, I didn't know that.
And then a gentleman named Chuck Fizer, who was a PGA guy, bought it. And then he owned it all the way up until just recently when a local farmer bought it. And that only lasted a couple years, and now it's been sold, and they're going to make a campground out of it, which really...
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. There is some discrepancy on that with, you know, some of the neighbors of the golf course and the permitting of what it needs to be maintained as a green space or... Mm-hmm. And I actually believe it's going to court. So it's still up in the air whether or not they're going to be able to do what they had talked about with the campground and maybe even potentially... like a motocross, or not a motocross, but a...
Side-by-side?
A side-by-side track around it. It would be really cool for that. You're not going to farm the thing.
Oh,
no.
You're never going to farm it.
Absolutely not. No.
So if you're not maintaining it as a golf course, I mean, is a campground any better? You know, there's...
because it's not like Aledo's the tourist mecca of the Midwest.
No, but there is successful campgrounds in Keysburg and New Boston, but they have... you know, a thing called the Mississippi going by them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, this little body of water, right. New Boston Bay, or a lot of boat traffic and stuff down there. There's nothing like that where this golf course is located.
Right. No, there's just that creek that runs by it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that would only be running if there's rain.
It'd be, well, Pope Creek, yeah, depending on whether it's actually running or if it's just a, you know, a little mud stream.
Yep.
I believe it's Pope Creek. Mill Creek would be, never mind, we'll get out of the geography of Mercer County, but it was really sad to me because I grew up playing there. I said I would play there as a kid. That's where I went for like my first golf lessons as like a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mom and dad dropping me off, and I remember there being 30 or 40 kids there, and you'd go out on the range.
Your first one?
Yeah, you do. I remember my first golf pro there.
Already?
Yeah.
We're not even 5 minutes into this thing, guys.
You would be correct.
I've been sitting on that one for a little bit.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally.
So, you know, we'd go through, we'd have our golf lessons in the morning, and basically just a bunch of us out there, you know, swinging that range balls, not really making any contact. And then you'd go walk 9 holes, then you'd come in, you'd have lunch, which was always the hot dog on the roller kind of thing.
Right.
And then mom and dad would come pick you up. And that's pretty much how I spent my summer out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
dad,
you were pretty much doing what used to irritate you with the kids at this course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it irritates me.
Right.
Yeah. But at the time, it seemed like we were the only ones there.
Right.
We don't have hot dogs, though.
Well, we used to have really good hot dogs, but...
Mm. We'll see what happens now.
Yeah, now you guys have just screwed the pooch since I left on that.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done anything.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I can attest to that.
Yeah.
That's not true. He got a lot of spraying done today on tees. So with the course closing, I went out there on its last day, which was September 30th of this year, and shot some video, played a couple of the holes, and just kind of reminisced. And like I said last week, it was like one of those things where you're like, man, I remember this place vividly. I played there so many times. And now to look at the course where it was in total disarray, all the irrigation boxes had been broken open and were empty. Nobody had done anything out there in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like one of those passing things. You know, the only thing that's constant is change. And that was one of them that really kind of hit
right.
for me. And locally here, Well, now there's only one 18-hole golf course in Mercer County.
Right.
And we're there right now.
Yeah, we're sitting in the clubhouse right now.
Yep. So, but my memories of it aren't like when we played out there not that long ago, all mm-hmm. of us. Mm-hmm. And it was in okay shape that day. I do remember when we were, you know, coaching the golf teams, and it was pretty rough then. There was a lot of ground under repair. But I remember when it was like, it seemed so modern. It was built in 1977, and I can't remember the designer, but it had a different feel than the courses that I had played before, because it was just like so big and massive to me as a 10, 11 year old.
Yeah. Right.
And now you go out there, and it still, layout wise, holds up to being modern.
Well, and I think the elevation changes that you experience mm-hmm. on that course make it fun.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
They've got a couple really on the challenging greens. Par threes. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that's like next to the pond, and then you have to go over the ravine to get to it. I mean, that's a tough hole.
Yeah, there's 8, and then 8 is a tough par 3, and then number 13 up the hill, mm-hmm. and then 14 was their signature hole. Was tough.
When really you tee tight. Up, and then it's really tight.
Yep. And there used to be other trees down there that actually blocked your shot on the right if you didn't hit it far enough left. So that had changed, and then they cleared out a bunch on the left of would have been 15. But 16, all the trees were bigger now. Like when I first got out of the Marines, I came back and me and my friends would go over there and we'd play almost every afternoon at twilight and try to get in 36, and you could actually hit it over the corner because the trees weren't as tall.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was like, nice. And if you didn't, you still had a shot out because mm-hmm. the trees were all small, but now you do it and you're like, now they're full grown trees, you know, 20 years later. Right. But, it was funny. One of the things is I was going around. Every flag was missing off of the flagpoles, like, because there's people everywhere that day.
Oh yeah, I bet.
And so they were taking their memorabilia, and you know, anything that wasn't nailed down was going away, and that's really how it was. And you know, the flags, the ones or two that I did see were all like all ratted up and stuff, but everything on the backside was gone, like you know, the caps on the ends of the flagpoles were all gone mm-hmm. and just a bare flag hanging there. But it was, so I got some drone footage and like I said, did a quick video that'll be up on our YouTube channel, but it was one of those things that like really just bummed me the hell out.
Yeah. And I look, the one we played it this year, I liked the course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked the layout of it and everything. And you could just tell that
they didn't care anymore.
They just hit a certain point and they're like, we're just going to
limp our
way through the rest of the year.
It's already sold, you know, and I know that when the course was purchased, from Chuck Fizer, it was $500,000 mm-hmm. is what bought the golf course. And what really bums me out is that like somebody local couldn't have bought it to keep it as a golf course.
Right.
You know, even if it was a community effort.
Yeah, you
know. You know, because you see that where groups come together and buy it.
Just talking about one down in Cuba. You know, mm-hmm. they're doing the same.
Cuba, Illinois.
Yeah, Cuba, Illinois, and the people came together and bought the course and put it together. They're out there with their own mowers and
they're just trying to make it work. They don't want it to go away.
Yeah.
And, you know, and somebody like there's a few houses on that course, and those are the ones that are really up in arms about it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you had your opportunity,
right?
You know, nobody wants to get into something to lose money, but something like that, I don't understand why, you know, there wouldn't have been some kind of, you know, urban development funds or something that you could have used to mm-hmm. to maintain that, whether or not it was purchased by the county or township or whoever. But it's just one of those things. Like now, another piece of the childhood goes away. You know.
Well, and honestly, I mean, we always talked about parking lots. Like, we like to go by, mm-hmm. you know, courses and look at parking lots. And in that particular parking lot, you would find guys that were probably within 30, 40 miles of the course mm-hmm. playing there all the time. That was their joint.
Yeah.
You know, that was their place to go.
Yep.
Because, you know, they saw them, and then they saw here at Fire Lake, you know, that's the upscale. So we'll go there every once in a while, but this is our home track, this is our home course, and this is where we'll play, no matter what condition it was, because we always would laugh, even when it was in the worst conditions, those same trucks and cars were sitting in the parking lot.
Yeah, the locals are there.
Yeah, playing there all the time.
Yeah, there was, you got to figure for the next closest golf course to those people that live in, well, I'll even throw in New Boston and Keysburg, those guys would have to go to Muscatine.
Right.
You know, anywhere else around Aledo, besides us, you'd have to go over to Monmouth and play Gibson Woods, which, you know, have you played Gibson Woods?
That's the one course
I've played it.
Yeah. And so I think Gibson Woods is a a fun golf course, but it's also a certain flavor. You've got to realize you're playing a tree-lined golf course that's pretty tight.
Yep.
You know, and it has some weird layout holes to it.
Yeah,
but
like one is straight up the hill. Two has got the big ravine in it.
Yeah, where you hit down
on
the bottom.
You don't see courses like that anymore.
No.
You really don't see courses like that anymore.
It's courses that back then were designed to fit the layout of the land where, you know, this is the what Mother Nature has given you. This is the golf course you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike here, where it's kind of it's similar to that. They tried not to move a lot of earth, but it was also the layout of it was already kind of there. The bones were here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring in a Nicklaus design team, and obviously there was a lot of construction that went along with it.
Right.
But that's not how it would have gone back in the day.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, it was just a sad thing for me. It was kind of a bummer, but at least I got to go play it one more time. And I don't know if you watch the video, maybe
you never know.
You get to see a tear streaming down my cheek, like the Indian guy with the pollution.
No, not that.
Oh no, I had to crop it in, but
geez.
And you know that guy in that commercial?
Mm-hmm.
He's actually Italian. The Indian in the commercial.
No.
Yeah, he's Italian.
Huh. Learn something
he
every day.
He sits at home.
It's not true. I don't sit at home.
Up seriously, all the
does.
Time.
I think he does.
Yes, you do.
You guys don't know that.
I know.
All right, let's go on to brighter topics.
Yeah.
Women's U.S. Open is this weekend.
Boom.
Boom.
So we talked a little bit last week about how we hadn't really caught up on what the women's golf tour / women's golf, I guess, internationally, because this is the U.S. Open. There's going to be players from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them that we did talk about was Lexi Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And Lexi Thompson, I remember when she qualified when she was 12 years old. Well, now she's 25, and she's qualified every year for the U.S. Open.
Impressive.
I mean, crazy impressive. And when she was 12, obviously she was a much smaller kid, but she was still putting it out there.
She
like her game was legit.
Mm-hmm.
The only other one that I can remember being that young and playing that well was obviously Michelle Wee.
Right.
I was gonna say that's the first female that I
remember
when I first got into golf.
Well, Michelle Wee, but she was playing other events too. Like she tried to play some PG, like regular men's events. But Morgan Pressel, do you remember her?
I know the name, but I couldn't.
I want to say she was in contention when she was 16 or 17, but she's another one of those that qualified really young. But she had a different kind of personality. She was like more of a Dottie Pepper personality. She was really fiery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I want to say she was in contention at one when she was still in her teens, which was mind-blowing. But so Lexi Thompson is now 25. And one thing that I saw doing some research on this that I thought was kind of interesting is her caddy is Tim Tucker. Well, Tim Tucker was also on the bag for Bryson DeChambeau when he won the U.S. Open.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's like, this is his attempt at, you know, doing a, you know, double dipping on
double
the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know, Lexi has the game. Obviously, she's qualified for, it 24 U.S. Opens in a row or whatever.
Yeah.
But it'd be really cool to see her.
Well, it's
on
just
this.
Like any other golfer. I mean, it just depends on who shows up that day.
Right. You know, yeah, where you're at on your game that particular day and how many days you can hold it together.
Yeah.
Because we've all been there where, okay, my driver's working, my wedge is not.
Right.
My driver's working, my putter's not.
Oh, yeah.
That's oh, everything else story. Is working, but the driver's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard to keep them all working at the same time.
Everything in line.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the beauty and horror of golf.
Yeah, which we did a pretty good job of that when when me and you were a team and we played against Jacob and Jimmy.
We did.
Yeah, you need to go check out that video. We may have taken
it. It was awesome.
I might have taken $100 off of Jacob.
You took us.
I had.
Just saying.
This is no bullshit. I had 8 or 9 legit birdie shots that day. Like
it's
birdie
true.
Putts.
Oh, wow.
It's true.
And 2 eagle putts.
Oh, my goodness.
He did have. Okay, the first eagle putt, which he was legit on number 2 and 2. He was front left and the pin was
back
right.
Oh God.
So you were putting.
Yeah. I was further away on the second putt than I was on the first one.
Yeah.
Did you get it up the hill first?
No.
We've all been there, Trav.
No.
Yeah. We've all been there.
But it was a really good utility club that you hit onto
that. That was nice.
Yeah.
It did it just the way I told him to, too.
Yeah.
It was like,
just
hey, no.
Just hit your shot, wrap around the tree a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, that was. That was a fun one.
That was fun.
But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. Is there anybody else that you guys thought was interesting in the Women's U.S. Open that was coming up?
Just one of the hottest players right now. Not looks, but play-wise.
Whoa.
Not easy. Saying that she's ugly.
Easy.
But
we don't judge here.
NB Park. You know, she's won 7 majors. She's had a pretty good year so far.
She finished second last week.
Yeah. So that's the favorite?
I think that's
she's
the
one of the favorite. She's one of the favorites.
This Angela Stanford.
Angela Stanford's up there, and she's one of the older ones that they're saying to look at.
Uh-huh.
Dark horse for being.
Yeah, I think she's the sleeper pick by everybody. And then Nellie, what's her name, Chris?
Korda.
Nellie Korda.
Yeah, the Korda sisters. And so, yeah, Nellie Korda, she's the better of the two, I believe. Because
mm-hmm.
I look at, like, where Jessica finished last weekend, and she finished 19th, which is respectable in a tournament. But you look at her final day, and she went +5.
Yeah.
Ooh, whoops.
So that's a rough finish.
Sounds like a...
You know, she was actually in contention, I think, at some point, and then she just tanked.
That sounds like a Ricky Fowler number.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, let's not even call. Let's not even go there because he had a really bad weekend last weekend.
Yeah, we'll get on that here just in a minute when we get onto the golf outing from this next week. But so I was going through some of the players that have, you know, made over 20 or qualified for the Women's U.S. Open like more than 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And going through that list was kind of neat. Morgan Pressel was actually on there.
Mm-hmm.
Christy Kerr was on there.
Yep.
And Christy Kerr, she's won a U.S. Open.
Right.
I think she won a U.S. Open in, like, 2007. But one thing that I thought, as soon as I saw her name in 2007, mm-hmm. of course you have to think about the event she won in 2004.
No, we're not going to go through this
again. No, I'm just going to say that...
Was that the picture I looked up, you had me look up?
I didn't have you look up anything, but I would delete your browser history.
Yeah.
So, Christy Kerr...
Hey, Trav, look this up.
Yeah. Yeah, and immediately you follow. Oh, I got to get this out of my browser. I got to get this out of my browser history.
So, Christy Kerr won the Long's Drugs Challenge back in 2004. A very young player at the time, and the trophy unfortunately was very
vulgar,
phallic.
Yeah, very phallic. Yeah. And she, of course, you know, grabs hold and gives it a big kiss right on the end.
Yep.
And she hasn't lived that down.
No.
And it's
a generation of men just kind of go,
oh. Like, wow.
Wow.
Poor girl.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, she's persevered because she's like one of those that plays in the Solheim Cup a lot. International player.
She's a warrior player.
Yeah,
she really is. She's a warrior player. I mean, she, you know, Solheim especially. I mean, yep. You watch her, she is like one of the ones that's all fired up. She's getting the young girls moving, saying, you know, just let's
that, get... You know, she kind of reminds me, she's a little bit younger than this player, but... one that she reminds me of would be Julie Inkster.
Yeah.
A little bit. Julie Inkster played...
Who always seemed to be in the mix of those things all the time.
And fiery.
And fiery. Oh, that girl used to get fired up.
Well, when she... So we hosted an LPGA event when I was at a course in California. And Julie Inkster, mom, lived on the course that I worked at.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie Inkster didn't like our golf course
mm-hmm.
to host a women's event.
Mm-hmm.
And she made it very clear that she didn't think we should be hosting an event. Mm-hmm. But the course that usually hosts was under renovation, so they couldn't host it there.
Right.
So we kind of picked up on it at the very last minute. We only had, like, I want to say 6-8 weeks. And we were doing a construction and grow-in of an additional 18 at the same time.
Ooh.
So we had the crew to, you know, put everybody there. And it was a successful event. But just leading up to it, with her saying that, we're kind of like, we've seen you out here playing, snobby toot.
Yeah.
You know, but I still like her as a golfer, even though she wasn't, you know, keen on Lincoln Hills hosting a Long Stroke Challenge. But it was still a fun event, and to see them all out there. Like I said, the women that were out there playing, you see them on TV at the time, and, you know, actually seeing them in person playing, kind of like, wow, my game is really shitty.
Yeah.
You know, because
they're no slouches.
No, they would beat the brakes off me all day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, seriously. I mean, when you look at all those players, I mean, I've seen guys on Twitter talk all the time, oh, I could beat a woman on the women's tour, you know, and I'm a 2 handicap. You know?
Oh, no, you couldn't.
And
no,
it's like, you can't, dude. Come on, stop it. You know?
They will laugh all 18 holes.
Yeah, and take take every dollar out of your wallet.
Just like I've talked to people about this in the MMA world. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, doing this and this and this. And I'm like, no. Okay, so if one of them is not a specialized stand-up fighter, okay, maybe you could out-punch them if you have some training.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you right now that Ronda Rousey would ragdoll any grown man that's not more than 220.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She would just ragdoll him. Mm-hmm. You know, people think she's just out there armbarring these other girls. Well, she was a silver medalist in the Olympics.
Olympics.
And
for judo. For judo.
Yeah, so she's legit. Now, she just couldn't handle getting punched in the snout.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, there's 95% of grown men can't either.
No.
So
yeah,
I'd be up in a corner crawling and crying.
It's one of those, and you don't appreciate. Like, I played golf with a couple of the girls from the Nevada golf team, mm-hmm, when I was in California, and they played the same team tees as us. And you want to talk about being humiliated?
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
And these weren't like girls you would hear of later.
Mm-hmm.
They were just Division I golfers.
Right.
I'm like, nice shot.
Yeah.
And then I'd hear, "You're away," and I'm like, thank you.
Thank you.
Gee, thanks.
Well, we had a kid played out here, David Lawrence, who was he's still trying to get on the tours. And I've watched him play and seen it, and a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you realize how tough it is for these guys to get on these tours, just to get on the Korn Ferry Tour, get on some of the lesser tours in Europe and Asia and things like that. There's nothing easy about it.
And some of the ladies that are trying to be professional golfers, they have what's called the Futures Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And these girls, they're not making much money.
No.
They're doing it because they love the game.
Yep.
And they're literally like living out of their cars. Like, I've seen specials where
they're like minor league baseball players.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
some of them are having to room with other people and, see if somebody's got a house in that particular area of the world or whatever.
A host family for the day.
Yeah, a host family for the day. I mean, that.
Well, same thing with, like Korn Ferry, those guys can make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the Canadian Tour, you have the Gateway Tour, you have, these other things that are almost like giant skins games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like those guys have to, if they're not automatically doing it like Jordan Spieth did,
mm-hmm, yep,
where they have to, work their way through it, find their game, make some money, mm-hmm, because it costs money to get there.
Wasn't Bryson kind of that way? I mean, he was a good amateur player, and won.
Brooks Koepka was actually more that way than Bryson.
Right. So, I mean, you look at some of these guys that are created on those tours,
mm-hmm,
I mean, it tells you how much hard work they had to put in to get there. I mean, it's not like they went on the Korn Ferry Tour and they're automatically going to go to the PGA and win there.
Yeah, right. No, because you got to finish in the top 25.
Right.
Or have, I think it's 3 wins in a season, they call the Battlefield promotion, where you then get your card for the remainder of the year or something like that. Mm-hmm. But Brooks went to Europe and played on, I want to say it was a Sunshine Tour or something like that. It's their version of a Futures Tour.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, below, obviously, the European Tour.
Right.
And he won an event there, and he said that's what really kicked it off for him, knowing that he could win that.
Right.
So he won that event. Forward. And then he was like, it just changed his mentality after that.
I think that's what it takes, is that, you work hard in these tours, but it takes a win or close to a win or winning.
Something that triggers something mentally for you.
You're up and there in points and things like that. But isn't that how Todd Hamilton, I mean, people didn't know who he was until he won the British Open, but he was mostly a European and Japanese tour player,
right.
wasn't he?
Yeah, he would play. Todd Hamilton would play international events where he could get in.
Mm-hmm.
But until he won the British Open, which gave him a 10-year exemption on tour,
mm-hmm,
he really didn't do much. Now, he's actually played here at this course and unofficially the course record holder,
mm-hmm,
but he didn't want to sign the scorecard.
Here?
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was I here?
No, I think that was...
Was that before your time?
No.
No,
he's
here.
He's played here.
Well, because he yelled at me because I didn't get his autograph.
Yeah.
And I didn't get
it. And he didn't want to turn in the scorecard because he felt like it was showing off.
Right.
And I want a 62, 64, or something like that?
62, I believe.
So that's legit. And
that must have been the first year you were here then.
No.
Because I was here the following summer.
Yeah.
It was either that one or the year you were gone.
Well, it had to be one of the years I was here because, mm-hmm, I was in the clubhouse when he came through.
Yeah.
So.
And he's from Aquaca, which isn't, Aquaca, which I believe is the seat of Henderson County,
mm-hmm,
not too far, awful far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say his parents owned a golf course or something down there, which has since closed again,
mm-hmm,
sadly.
Yeah,
I might have been here.
So he was, he's one of those guys. He won the British and, is a local guy.
Right.
Still has game.
Right.
But after his 10-year exemption is up, I mean, he's probably on the senior tour and stuff now.
And I walked with him once when he was playing
at the John Deere.
And it was with him, David Duval, and Daly. And that
was
the day, Daly blew up. And Duval and Hamilton had a kind of a chuckle about it, But, it was kind of funny because John kept calling him Hammy. Didn't call him Todd, didn't call him Hammy. He just kept calling him Hammy, nice shot, Hammy, nice shot, And And he was a lot of fun. And I actually still have a signed golf ball for him. It's actually in my truck.
Oh, nice.
I still have a signed golf ball from Todd Hamilton and John Daly. David Duvall didn't give me shit.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Poor David Duvall.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just, it was one of those things that all that work they put into it, you know, Brooks Koepka, he, I don't want to say he blew up on, when he started winning on regular tour,
mm-hmm.
but you got to remember those 10 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, he wasn't always that guy.
Right.
No, and he said that he just, he doesn't really work on his game. He said that when he was winning his majors. I don't mm-hmm. go out and just hit buckets and buckets of golf balls.
Like a Vijay Singh would.
Like Vijay would. Yeah, right. He's like, I wake up, I go lift weights, I get my workout in. If I want to go play 18 holes, I go play.
Yeah.
But like
right.
Tigers,
because obviously it's more of a mindset with him.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like not a physical.
Tigers tried to text him, hey, you want to go play a practice round? And he won't even respond.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the kind of dude he is, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tiger's like, well, I tried reaching out to him, but he didn't want to play.
Right.
And Brooks is like, well, I don't need to go out and really practice today, so because I didn't feel like it.
Well, there was
and if you're practicing just to practice, are you really practicing?
Yeah.
Right.
Right? You're just ingraining
right.
bad things, you yeah. know?
Well, there was a funny picture of him on Twitter with his girlfriend.
Oh, with the grapes?
With the grapes, and they said, you know, this is Brooks Koepka after not making the cut at the Mayakoba. She's feeding him grapes.
I love that.
Yeah, like in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, like it was the ugliest yeah. outfit you've ever yeah, seen, but it was a very...
He's in the Yucatan back. Peninsula yeah. getting fed grapes. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good for you, though, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm jealous.
I mean, he's only... What is there, only 3 back-to-back U.S. Open champs, and he's one of them?
He's one of them.
Like... Yeah, never.
Well, I mean, and it kind of goes with what he says about gaining confidence. All right, he wins one major. Well, I'm going to go ahead and win it. You know,
yeah.
Jordan Spieth went through that same thing yep. where, you know, you hit one and then all of a sudden.
Rory did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are, your mind is
we'll
there.
We'll go with a real golf. We'll say Rory actually did the
yeah,
same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Jordan. Poor Jordan.
I actually, there's another podcast. Colt Nost actually hosts it. I want to say it's Below Par or Even Par or something like that, and he did an hour-long interview with Jordan Spieth.
Mm-hmm.
You should watch it
is
or
it
listen
good?
To it. Yeah, they have it. It's on YouTube as well, but there's a mm-hmm. podcast. I want to say it's Above Par or Below Par or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he really got deep into, you know, because they play a lot together. Colt Nost, for those that don't know, is a U.S. amateur champ. He played on PGA Tour, and so, I want to say he was on
Texas.
Yeah, University of Texas. Texas. That's how they're so close, because they're right. both University of Texas guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, where would a guy named Colt Nost actually play?
Well, wasn't he like the staff guy for Titleist?
Probably.
You
and
know, wasn't he like
do you remember
that,
what he looked like?
He's like a short little squatty guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He reminded me of Stadler.
Yeah, because I remember him.
Even when he was a young kid.
Yeah, I remember him at the Classic, because everybody was hitting like 3 wood off of 14. You know, and he just gets up there with an iron. He goes, "Oh, I can do this." And he just, I'm like, "Holy!"
Yeah, Colt Nost. Yeah, I enjoyed
the guy
watching
can hit
him
hit
it
the
play.
Country damn mile.
Yeah.
So
yeah, just ask him.
Yeah, so, just ask him. Which is true.
No, I thought, and he does a really good job with this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's one of those that I enjoy.
Well, that's good, because his game went to
yeah a little bit
shit fast.
But you know, he's like I said, he spent that hour with Spieth, and he has a partner there. I can't remember the partner's name, but the partner went through a story about where Jordan had hit a certain shot in one of the majors, and it was a bad one,
mm-hmm.
right? And it kind of took him out of it. And the guy he thought he was texting Colt, but he accidentally texted Jordan
mm-hmm.
and said, "Spieth is out of it. There's no recovering."
Oh,
and
no.
And he just said, "Thanks, bro." So I was wow. like, you know, I bagged on Jordan a lot, but right. he, in that interview, you could tell. He's like, "No, hey, I'm working on it, man. Like, I'm doing what I can."
He's not shied away from it.
No.
He's not made excuses.
It is what it is.
He's not, you know, and he has not listened to what people have told him. Get rid of your crew. You know, try something
yeah.
new. Get a new coach. You
get
know,
to do it, change your swing.
Change
do this,
swing,
that, or the thing.
And
that.
He's doing it his way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing that got him into a little bit of trouble was they said, "Hey, you need to hit it further."
Yeah, that was the
and
thing.
It was after he'd already won 3 majors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, assholes, it worked.
Yeah.
Right.
Why tweak it?
If it's not broke, mm-hmm. don't fix it.
But with
yeah,
that said, you
can't all be Tiger Woods,
right.
who's changed his game.
Yeah, he's had like 5 different swing coaches, and it all works. But ultimately, the swing coach is Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. He's the
yeah.
one digging it out of the dirt every time.
Every once in a while, you'll see it like on Facebook or whatever. He'll have videos that come up, and he will have Rory, DJ, those guys out there. He'll be like, "I don't use yardages, I go off by feel."
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I feel like I need to hit a draw here, I'm going to hit a draw from 160.
Well, I've seen those clips where it's all the TaylorMade guys now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, where they do their chipping. And
yeah, yeah, Jason Day is all out there. And
he never uses
Rory.
A glove when he chips. Tiger doesn't.
Hmm.
He says his
the
glove,
feel of it
the
is.
The feel of it. And the, uh-huh. He feels like his glove hand.
Which doesn't surprise
catch.
Me.
No, not for guys like that.
No,
well, Freddie Couples for the longest time never wore a glove ever.
Yeah.
I didn't when I started. Mm-hmm. I do now sometimes, but.
I didn't.
Not that I'm Tiger Woods or anything.
Yeah.
I didn't for years in Arizona, just because Freddie Couples was my idol. I'm like, uh-huh. If Freddie's
I'm
not wearing
like
one,
Freddie.
Yeah, my swing looks just like not Freddie's.
Yeah, it's definitely not smooth.
No, definitely not smooth. I'm kind of a cross between.
And it definitely doesn't go far away.
Nick Price and super fast takeaway.
Yeah, Charles Barkley.
No, come on.
He didn't have the hitch.
That was fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, this last weekend was the
Mayakoba.
And you got know who won in that?
That was Victor Hovland.
Victor Hovland, who's
Oklahoma State kid, wasn't
Oklahoma
he?
Oklahoma State.
I believe so. Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. He's a little bit of a nerdy-looking guy.
Yeah.
He can be nerdy all he wants. He's won two times.
And this last one, I think it was 1.2 mil.
Yep.
And
that's not a bad
payday. He's part of that group of young golfers, Morikawa. They all kind of came out at the same time.
Wolf. He would have probably been on the team with Wolf then.
At Oklahoma State. The same team.
Yeah, they were on the same team.
That's stacked right there. Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, each of these groups has a group of college guys that came up, and some of them have done it well. You know, it's kind of like when Tiger left Stanford.
Yeah.
Some of the Stanford guys came with him, but not
Casey
all.
Martin.
Yeah.
Nota Begay,
yeah. Things like that. So, I mean, they have their college crew that comes out with them. But, I mean, did anybody come out from Alabama with Justin Thomas?
No.
I didn't think so. I thought he was kind of like
the
No,
one.
I think I'm still waiting for Justin Thomas to come out.
Wow.
What the?
Jesus. Wow. And again, 2 weeks in a row, Bell has brought up something that does not reflect the opinions and thoughts of the other people at this table.
No, come out as a major champion.
Yeah.
Actually, did he already win a major?
He won a PGA.
PGA, yeah. Mm-hmm. That almost counts as a major.
That's like the redheaded stepchild.
It is. It's the ugly
majors.
Cousin.
Yeah. It's just
that you always make sit at the kids' table.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a hater.
But it's the truth.
He's such a hater.
No, but it's the truth. When you look at some of the guys that have won it, do you hear from them ever anywhere else? I mean, you look at like Jason Duffner. Other than the guy being famous for how he was sitting on the grass, you know.
Well, the most famous thing about him, we know.
Right. Tiger took his girl.
Tiger took his girl. Yeah, that was rough.
Right to the ATM.
Yeah.
Stop!
And then who's the kid from Boston that Jordan busts on all the time? Because he wears the Jordan golf shoes. And he's he goes, I'm sporting these golf shoes. And Jordan tweets him right back and he goes, yeah, but how many times have you won with
Harold
those?
Oh.
Yeah. He just... No, not
Harold Varner wears Jordan's everything.
Yeah, I know, but this kid wore them when they first came out, and he won a PGA. I can't think of his name, though. Kind of a weird kid, and his caddy's name was Pepsi.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and I remember him at the Classic because I knew he was in town because in Coal Valley, they go out to the John Deere tractor. You know, they play with the tractors out there at that facility out there in Coal Valley. And here comes
it's called John Deere Days. They bring in general managers and superintendents from all over the world to show off their wares.
Yeah, and here comes a Jaguar that you never see in this area of the world, and it was him. And I cannot think of his name.
Well, but, he must have been picking him right.
Yeah, and he's never come close again. I mean, all these guys that have won the PGA.
Isn't Keegan Bradley?
Keegan Bradley. That's
Keegan
the one.
Bradley. Yeah.
I just saw his name. I was like, I'm pretty sure the one time I saw him at the Classic.
Yes.
Yeah, well, when we did the. Observers, mm-hmm. when we were out there, I saw Keegan Bradley that day,
right
out there trudging up 18.
Yeah,
like up the hill after.
Pissing, and yeah, because his caddy was a complete ass.
Yeah,
you know, because he was like, you know, we'd be on the tee box and we had all our chairs in the back of the tee box. I'm just going to borrow one of your guys' chairs, you know, and you guys really should have benches out here. And I said, do you have benches on the PGA Tour? And he goes, no, we don't have it. They should have benches. You know, and he started arguing with us about whether there should be benches. And the guy was just – and then he's the guy that got into it with Angel Jimenez.
Oh.
Remember their caddies? Miguel Angel Jimenez. Mm-hmm. They got into a
the
huge
mechanic.
Argument. Yeah, they used to get – they got a huge argument because Miguel had talked to – his caddy.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, and they got into a huge row out in the middle of a fairway, I think.
Yeah.
And then it just continued on, and Keegan was like, you don't talk to my caddy.
Yeah, the players actually started to go back and forth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it was Angel and Keegan Bradley, I'd put my money on Angel.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Yeah.
He knows people.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He's the most interesting golfer in the world.
Just ask him.
Yeah, just ask him.
His ass with the stogan.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, we don't know where that stogan ended up. I'll tell
you. Wait a minute. So I didn't get a chance to watch much of the event. I did watch some highlights. A
little bit. I just watched highlights mostly.
His game obviously was solid. There were some bigger names there, too.
Yeah, I think Justin Thomas was making a run. Like, the second and third rounds, mm-hmm. he was lighting it up. But then, you know, typical of his year, he still finishes inside the top 20 or top 10.
Tony Finau was playing pretty well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Billy Horschel. You don't hear his name too often anymore.
Yep.
He was top five.
Well, those guys that everybody and their brother would have been probably trying to make this event just to ensure their card.
Yep.
Right.
Because it's the last event, I think, of the year.
Steve Stricker finished in the top 20. 13
and Stricker's got to be playing on the senior tour now, right?
He is on the senior tour.
So he's over 50. Yep. And he still finished where?
19th.
Tied for 17th. He's from Wisconsin, but he's an Illinois golfer.
Yep.
So a little bit of ties to the area. And he usually plays as the John Deere.
Yeah. And then, but if you look at the people that didn't make the cut, oh, my. There's some people in there that probably didn't.
Where's Ricky at?
So Ricky, he didn't make the cut. He finished even.
He was playing pretty well, wasn't he? And had a blow up day.
Yeah. What happened to Graham McDowell?
Who knows?
That poor guy. I mean, he
won a U.S. Open too, didn't
he? Yeah, he did.
At like Pebble, maybe.
Yeah. Went, Woodland was down. He didn't make the cut.
Also a U.S. Open champ.
Yep. So there was a few of them on there. Some names that you probably haven't seen in a while. Ches Reavie.
Oh, Ches Reavie, yeah. Wow.
Mark Leishman, he won a major.
Yep.
Mm.
And, you know, so there's some guys that didn't even make it.
Well, let's be honest. It's December.
Yeah.
They're
all taking their family. Just like when they go to Kapalua or Sony. Because
right.
Kapalua is only the Tournament of Champions.
Yeah.
All the families are out there. That's why they go out. They do a whole family event. That's probably very similar to what this is. We're going to go down to Mexico. If I make the cut, great. If not, we're just going to spend the next 10 days.
Yeah, I would assume that's what happened to Ricky.
Yeah.
He probably just said, hey, you're like, I got a hot wife. I'm done. You know, I'm out of the top 50. Okay.
They're doing a pig roast later. I'm going to go get my pig on.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't blame the kid.
I don't either. But side note, you know who the biggest shit talker is?
On tour. Robert Perez.
Yes. Yes.
Is that what you're getting
at?
Yes. Yeah, no, that guy's been doing it for 20-something years.
I watched...
Robert Perez.
Or Pat Perez. Pat Perez. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Pat Perez.
Oh, I watched... when they did a 2-versus-2 thing on, like, a Tuesday afternoon. It was earlier in the year. And he did not shut up the entire time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were on the green lining up putts.
And you ever seen him at a tournament?
I haven't.
He's got... Like, he has a...
Oh, yeah, an entourage.
I think he has a wife, but he's got, like, girls.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
They're running this...
Is he a U of A golfer, too, I think?
He might be.
Like, Rory Sabatini is. I want to say Pat Perez.
I think he was, too. And he also won big in the casinos when he was here. Him and his caddy both, like, won, like, monster. And they'd show up to the Classic with hangovers.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Just hammered.
I mean, I
want to say that his... he qualified for a U.S. Open, and his dad was the announcer at the first tee and had traditionally been at this course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And announced him, and he was a younger player at the time.
Right.
I want to say he's from California, but he played at U of A.
I think you're right about that.
And his dad announced, and he was like all talking. He was like, this is awesome. You know, I'm going to win this. And he, you know,
just tanked.
Shit the bed.
Oh, yeah.
But
which he's done a lot in his career.
But
he's had a great attitude about it.
Yeah.
But he's still on tour.
Yeah.
And he's been playing, I want to say, 20 years.
Oh, at least.
Yeah. Like, he's one of those fixtures.
Seems like he's been around forever.
Yeah, you know, kind of like how, you know, I would like to see him win. I don't know that his game ever would attribute to that. But, like, when Rick Beam won, like, he was one of those guys that was just kicking around tour.
Yeah.
And then he won a PGA. And
very tall.
Rich Beam?
Yeah, he's like... Mini.
His uncle worked at a course I was at in Arizona, and Beam's dad was a longtime coach for New Mexico State in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Yeah.
See, another side note thing that...
I think that, though, when you play golf enough and you work in...
You work in enough spots.
You meet a lot of people. I mean, I've had run-ins with Tim Herron, who was a scream.
Tim Herron's been in here.
Yeah, Tim Herron's been here at this course. I mean...
I remember I was in a meeting. I'm like, hey, Lumpy.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
great guy.
Like, that was his nickname, and I couldn't remember couldn't remember Tim Herron.
Yeah.
But
just remember the nickname?
The nickname.
Yeah, Tim Lumpy Herron.
And when I was at Desert Mountain, Carefree Arizona, North Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. One of the guys that I worked with there went to the same high school as Tim Herron.
Right.
He said he was a senior on the golf team when he was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, yeah, no, that was pretty intimidating.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because that dude was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you really get to meet some of the real characters of the game when you work a tournament,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you work at a golf course, because yeah. they really do come out. It was a Joe Ogilvie, I think, was another guy. Hysterical on the course, and his mom was actually walking with him at the Classic.
Really? You wouldn't think that about him.
Yeah, his mom was walking along, and he was cussing up a storm. Ended up throwing his putter into the trees, and on 14 there, just threw it. I mean, and there's no going to get that, because that is a horrible place to be. And his mom apologized to all of us.
Really? Mom apologized?
She goes, I'm really sorry, guys. He's normally that, because he dropped F-bombs all over.
Do you remember there was a longtime LPGA player, Natalie Golbus?
I know the name.
Yeah, she'd won a couple of times. She was one of those first LPGA players that put out a calendar,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was called 10 on the Tee.
Yeah.
And she was from the Sacramento area, which is where I was at for Lincoln Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And she would come out there to practice all the time. And, you know, taller, blonde, mm-hmm. very slender. 10 on the Tee.
Yeah.
Right? Like it fit.
A brick shit house.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Okay.
And, but her dad. Huge beard, long hair, nice. Biker dude.
Yeah.
And he would be out there on her bag, and he's just like, you know, he had the whole wallet with the chain thing.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. And you're just kind of like, huh.
Yeah.
How do you?
Mom must be a smoke show.
Yeah.
Because that happened.
Yeah. How does that happen?
How does this come about?
Okay. She would be out there, and she actually signed a whole bunch of calendars for us. We had them down at our maintenance building there.
But, I'm sure you did.
Oh, yeah. No, it's.
He still has one at his house.
Yeah, I bet he does.
Yeah, it's hard to get a few of those pages open anymore. But
it's going to be next to the Skytrack when we're playing.
Oh.
But no, she was one of those that made a lot of money in the silly season LPGA-wise. She always played in that 3-tour challenge and stuff. But yeah, she was a really pretty girl. But I think she won once or twice on tour. But her main thing was,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was kind of the Instagram model before there was Instagram.
Yeah. Right, right.
But anyway... I got way off there. I started thinking about Natalie Golbus.
Yeah, we'll have to
Google search that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys got anything else?
I think that's it.
No, that's it.
All right. Well, next weekend we'll recap the Women's U.S. Open, and I think the next week is
the Father Son Challenge.
Is the Father Son?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to see if the new program on the Skytrack actually has that golf course on it, and maybe we can get a little pre-action on
get
that.
Get around in there and say,
cool.
Because we need to get out. We're pretty much, I think we might try to sneak out tomorrow afternoon. Today would have sucked.
Yeah, it would have been a little bit chilly.
Yeah,
it's cold.
Golf season is almost officially over, so we're going to have to.
The fact we haven't had snow yet is a minor miracle.
Yeah, it is.
Wait till this weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, thanks for coming in. Check out the YouTube channel if you want to see me tear up a little bit.
Yeah, bring tissues.
Yeah. Oh. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
If you're in Subic Bay, that's all day.
Thailand.
Yeah. But hey, welcome, golf enthusiasts, to golf. All right.
God damn
Take
it.
Take two.